Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, and welcome to Discover a New Beginning Blog Talk Radio. Our show, A Phenomenal Woman, broadcasts weekly on Wednesday and Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This show is inspired by and dedicated to all the phenomenal women. Whether someone recognizes your worth or not, know that you are awesome. Our guest today is Dr. Joanne White, an international award-winning, best-selling author and speaker, certified professional coach, and energy master teacher. She's always dreamed of dedicating her life to service and has been living her dream by helping millions of individuals, families, and organizations shape their own dreams, master their success, and their triumph. Known globally as the Success Doc, Joanne's also the executive producer and host of the popular Power Your Life TV and radio shows and CEO president of Dr. Joanne White Consulting Services, LLC. Her newly launched book, More Heaven, Because Every Child is Special, is an Amazon International bestseller and received a Mom's Choice Award for Excellence. Named among the best in family-friendly media, products, and services. More Heaven was also chosen among the top 10 inspiring books for April by Aspire Magazine and received a Blue Ribbon for Excellence. Both Keys to Conscious Business Growth, co-authored, and Bully Free are international bestsellers, too. Bully Free also received a Mom's Choice Award for Excellence. Dr. Joanne has been featured online and in national and international media outlets such as CNN.com, Good Housekeeping, More, and WebMD, with frequent guest appearances on radio and television networks such as NBC, CBS, Fox, and Voice America. Dr. White is also the founder of the recently launched Power Your Life Network and Power You Online University. She was named a 2015 Worldwide Branding Top Female Executive for Professional Coaching by Worldwide Who's Who and featured in Women of Distinction magazine in 2016. Welcome, Dr. White, to our show. We are so pleased to have you with us this evening.
Thank you so much, Linda. Wow, yeah, I thought you were going to get exhausted from reading that. Thank you for doing all that for me. I so appreciate that, and I appreciate being on your show.
Thank you. So tell us, you do a lot of promotion of people with neuro and other differences. What exactly is a neuro differences, and why is that so important to you?
Well, neural differences have to do with people who their brains work differently. Their brains do not work in the usual fashion, and there have been many incredible people, famous people in history whose brains did not work that way, and Einstein and Dewey, and yet they did incredible things. And so I was actually, it's interesting, because I was writing a chapter for a book that I'm going to be in, Linda, and we were asked to kind of do a little bit of a retrospective of our lives. And I started to think back, and I recognized that I must have neural differences. You know, when I was younger and I came in, I was doing mirror writing, which means that it was backwards. If you held it up to the mirror, you could read it perfectly. So that was the first indication to my teachers and my family that something was awry. And over the years, even because I'm very left-handed, it was very challenging initially in a right-handed world. A lot of people don't experience that today, but I even remember when I was going to graduate school, I had to get to my classes early because every class did not have desks for left-handed people. So if you were taking notes, I remember taking notes and getting sore in my back and my neck because of the way that the desks were. So I had to actually go early to scout around and see if the class I was in, if it didn't have a left-handed desk, I'd have to go find one and drag it into the class so that I wouldn't be in pain. But
oh,
so
my
neural
goodness.
Differences, you learn to adapt, right? So neural differences
right.
are that people's brains don't work, don't work the same. And I've just always had, I think part of it has been my family training and values, just to always really recognize that we're here to help people. And so whether we're, no matter what the color of your skin is, what your religion is, how your brain functions or whatever, it's we have to have some level of love and acceptance and appreciation for one another. And I think that's kind of where my journey with this began. And then when I was about 17 years old, I was like working in a camp, and the director of the camp was a visionary, and we're talking years ago, and he actually started a special needs division, which was very unusual for that time, and he asked if I wanted to be a counselor in the camp. And sure, I said, I didn't know anything about kids with special needs or what that was about, but I'm an adventurer, and I love helping people, and I said, sure. And I fell in love, Linda, with these children, and I even changed my career. I was going to go into college in English literature and writing. I love writing, and I ended up changing it to special education and education because of these incredible kids. And that's sort of how things started.
So do you think that the challenges that you faced, and is dyslexia then a form of this neural difference with your brain functioning just not quite the way it should? Is dyslexia considered part of that whole
thing? Well, dyslexia is, autism is, and again, we have to be careful of our language because the way that the brain functions the way it should. Who's to say? It's like when I looked up what it meant to do mirror writing, because I never did it when I was a kid. I just told my mother, what is your daughter going to amount to? But for this chapter, I started to research it just recently, and I read different things. In one, it was, people with dyslexia have mirror writing, and in one it says your brain is damaged. In another one, it says you're highly intelligent. So we have to be careful how we envision these neural differences. Does it mean that somebody's less than, or is it just that
right.
that our brains work different? We're wired differently.
That's right. Yeah, and I agree with you because, for someone to say, for me, instance, I just said normal. Well, normal is relative because, crazy people, they think they're normal. We all think we're normal, and there are other people around us who swear there's something a little off about us. So you're absolutely right. I think we have to be very careful and very sensitive in terms of how we label people because in your case, for instance, because of the challenges you face, someone questioned, what are you going to even amount to? And I think we do that to our children who are different. Whatever that difference might be, we begin to label them because they're outside of what society considers to be the norm. Do you find that to still be the case like it was in your childhood? Do you still see that as being prevalent in our society today?
Definitely, Linda. I think that not just children, but many people, because they're functioning differently or they're doing things differently, are labeled abnormal or whatever. And you're right. I think we have, we have to have that appreciation for differences, because I think that if your brain is wired differently, you also can think outside of the box. And look at you know, some of the achievements. I don't have the list of the people that, but some of the achievements of people whose brains were wired, you know, who had these neural differences, the inventions that they did, the discoveries that they, you know, it's just amazing. And maybe it's because they had to, they, you know, work differently or think differently or behave differently. I remember in graduate school, I was taking the statistics course because I had to do research for my PhD. And I would sit there and listen to this professor, and then I would go back and think, what just happened? And I had to go from the end result all the way backwards, which took a long time to be able to figure out what he was talking about and how to really solve the problem. And again, that's a totally opposite way of, I guess, because I, you know, how people learn or how people learn statistics or whatever, because that's just what I you know, and again, and I had to figure out what to do, and I was an adult at the time, but there was something about that I could not grasp until I figured out a way to learn it that probably was different from what most people do.
So do you think that your journey and the challenges that you faced, do you think that had a lot to do with where you are in terms of being a woman and being a professional? You know, the role, what role do you think that had to do with where you've become, what you've become?
Well, I think what it's given me is a sensitivity to different kinds of people, to people with, and to be able to appreciate differences and to be able to want to help people in that way. I've always believed in serving people and in really, you know, I think that's what we're here to do. I think we're here to grow and to learn and to love and to serve one another. And I think that knowing that you know, somebody would say, call my mother and say, one of the teachers, and call her up and say, your daughter can't write, you know, because my handwriting was atrocious. What is she going to do? She can't write. She can't do this. And yet it wasn't about my creative writing. It was just my handwriting. Well, today they're not even teaching
that's right.
Some of that in school,
anymore.
Right?
That's right.
So,
oh,
hello.
Yeah, right. So how relevant was that anyhow to your overall success in life? Yeah.
Well, it wasn't, but it certainly is demoralizing when people would label you, me, or anybody stupid or less than or not able to succeed or what's she going to do or how is he going to be later on because of what they see as limitations. And I believe that when you're given those kinds of challenges and you can learn how to move past them, that's part of the excitement of life. It's like, rather than be discouraged, it's like, okay, how do I do this? I mean, with the statistics course, I was thinking, you know, I never asked anybody, how do you do this? I thought, I'm in graduate school. I have to take a test. I have to get past this to get my PhD. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make this work outside of, you know, not cheating, but to figure out what to do and to master it. And I believe that's kind of been a driving force in my life, whatever it takes to really be able to push beyond my limitations, whatever they are, and to really prove to myself, not to that teacher X amount of years ago, but prove to myself too that I could do it and feel good about myself. And I think it's important for everybody to be able, forget about the labels, forget about what somebody said to you that you're not going to be able to do this or you can't do that, and remind yourself of your own gifts. We all have such incredible gifts and talents. And we need to be able, and they're precious. They're so precious. And we need to be able to have that opportunity to express them and to share them with others and with the world.
But I think a lot of times those that feeling of empowerment and determination gets buried, particularly if, as a child, people begin to tell you what you're not, what you can't, don't, all of those negative things. And if you don't have someone in your life as a child to pour back into you to say, you can do this, whatever it is you want to, you can do this, you can, and be supportive, I think then a lot of times, particularly we as women, kind of get to a point in our lives where now we're adults and we still have that same attitude about ourselves that I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I don't have this, I don't have that. And so we then defeat ourselves a lot of times. So, you know, like many of us, you've had to overcome a lot of obstacles and challenges. So how did you overcome that, and how do you help your clients or women who come to you that are facing some of the same types of challenges? How do you help them to overcome those?
Well, you know, one of the things is that and people can't believe this, is that I was always shy. I mean, my teachers would tell my mother I was a late bloomer because I was very quiet. And people say, Joanne, no, that's not you. Well, but yes, it was. And I think what's important is that despite what other people tell you, you've got to be able to find something within you, something that you can hold on to that allows you to really feel good about yourself. And you're right, it's important to have people who can in some way validate you, but oftentimes the validation has to come from within. And I think our mistake is constantly comparing ourselves to other people. And, you know, there's always going to be somebody more beautiful, more intelligent, more what, but so what?
Yeah.
We have to appreciate who we are. And I think that's kind of what I like to do with people if I'm working with women and with their families, and is to allow them to get to a level of self-acceptance and love and appreciation and be able to share who they are, to firstly validate it to themselves, and then to be able to find a way, whether it's through career or whatever, to be able to bring it out further into the world. And that's to me, that's very exciting. It's exciting to watch people grow and go from this caterpillar into these beautiful butterflies and see how they emerge and glow, and it's because they're recognizing, and we all have that glow, but they're recognizing that within themselves. I think for me, it's also been a lot of faith. I remember I had an injury that was debilitating when I was in my like late 20s, and I couldn't walk and I couldn't sit. And I was going to all sorts of doctors, and no offense to the medical profession, but I felt like it wasn't working. And so I thought, what am I going to do? And I started to figure out, okay, I got to figure this out. I have to live. I have to work. I have to be able to get past this. And this is interesting. And I remember at one point I was so distraught, Linda, and so down. I thought, you know, I couldn't walk up and down my stairs. I actually had to live on the first floor. And if I had to go to where my bedroom initially was, which was on the third floor, I had to kind of do it on my backside. And it got to a point where I was so exhausted and I'm feeling really sorry for myself and alone. And I remember lying down, going to sleep and thinking, okay, this is the beginning of the end. Now you're going to think I'm crazy, but I had this dream. And in the dream, I'm in this totally white room, and I'm on this operating table, and there are these beings that are human-like, but they're not. They're like beings or healers from other planets. And they're working on me. And I get the message that I'm going to be healed. And I remember getting up from that point of feeling like, what's the point? What's the use? And feeling really excited and deciding to find ways of healing myself. And that opened up doors for some of the work that I do today, because I had, you know, so I found alternative healing methods, and I studied them, and I went through them to heal myself. And once I was able to walk again and dance again and sit again, and I remember the first time I was able to go to the shore. Sorry if I'm being long-winded here. But I never thought I was ever going to see the ocean again. I remember finally being able to sit in a car after months and months and months of just pain and whatever, and the tears of joy are just streaming down my face as I'm looking at the ocean. So to me, even that debilitating time was a way to discover what I needed, and also that helped my journey in terms of helping other people. So I think I was guided to that. Now, it sounds crazy because some people think, well, look at the challenge you face. But a lot of people find that, and there are incredible discoveries or solace or information, Linda, that they get from sometimes very difficult situations.
I have to agree with you. A lot of times the greatest lessons that we learn in life come from the greatest challenges that we've had to face. You know, I work with a lot of women in transitional housing. 99% of those are homeless with children and as a result of domestic violence. And so when I go in and the first thing I say to them is, I've been homeless, I've been an alcoholic, I've been a victim of domestic violence. I am the epitome of what joy looks like on the other side of what you're going through. And I don't think that I would be able to, and I don't know whether or not your ministry would be as effective had we not gone through some of the challenges that we have gone through, because we're able to relate to people. You know, Jesus meets us all at our point of need. And so that's what we have to do. If we're serving other people and we're going to help them, we have to meet them at their point of need, where they are, and what better place to meet them than to have been where they are. You mentioned validation. We have a problem as women validating ourselves. We look for other people to validate us, to tell us that we look good or tell us that we've done a good job. And like you said, we need to get to a point where we validate ourselves, that we know within ourselves we are somebody and we are doing a good job. So in all that you have been through, what are some of the life lessons that you've learned from your journey, and how are you able to apply those lessons to not only your life, but to the life of other women that that are impacted by you and the work that you do?
Well, firstly, I think that, like you said, that if we go through an experience and we understand it because we've lived through it and we've recognized the intensity of it, Linda, that we're able to better share and understand what other people are going through if they're going through something similar. So I think that's important. I think that the challenge is, firstly, I've learned to never give up. You know, I had to. Somebody told my mother, what's she going to amount to? You know, well,
right. I... That's right.
Hello, you know, we'll see what... too bad I can't go back to find that teacher. She's probably not alive now, but anyway.
I know.
But I think that was one thing, to never give up and to also be patient, which more have in this book. When the first draft of this book was written about 30-something years ago, at a time when many people with autism and special needs, and that's what a lot of what the book is about, that story, were not allowed in public school or actually kicked out of school, and oftentimes doctors would say to them, to their parents, well, these kids need to be institutionalized. So I wrote the book, and there's a story behind that too, but I wrote the book at a time when it wasn't great to write that book because it wasn't going to be well received, but I was very guided to do that, and I'll tell you later on about that. And so I put the book away. I said, okay, you know, maybe, I don't know. I was guided to write it, so I wrote it, and then I went on with my studies and teaching and doing all sorts of other things. And I remember I was going for my master's degree at the time, and I showed it to two professors. And years later, I was teaching as an adjunct at the same university, and one of the professors passed me in the hall, and he said, Joanne, whatever happened to that book? It needs to be published. So it was like, you know, a message from God, from heaven, tapping on your shoulder, hello, it's time.
Right.
Right. So I think patience, I had to learn patience. And oftentimes people are so impatient to get things done. Well, sometimes it really, the timing is important and patience is important. And also resilience. I think that we have to be able to have coping strategies. I mean, there are lots of challenges no matter where you are in the world, no matter what age you are, and it's important to be able to meet them and have ways to handle the stresses, have ways to handle the disappointments, even what we consider so-called failures. And I think that that's something that I learned through, I guess, through the adversity and through the challenges that I had. And also faith. I mean, I think that's very important that I, you know, I never feel alone. I feel very supported and very loved and very guided. I feel like I have angels and I connect with them and God. And so I think that that's a very significant piece. And again, you don't have to necessarily share that with, you know, those same beliefs, but I think that it helps. And I think that I've also learned that we're here to help one another, and you can't do it all alone. It would be nice to be able to, but you know, you need help. And you need support, and it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to ask for support, and it's also important to be there for other people.
Absolutely. You mentioned about your bestseller, More Heaven, Because Every Child is Special. There's a wonderful story in there that's inspiring for other women, and I was wondering if you share that with us, because I think that it's just so inspirational, and it would be such a benefit to our listening audience.
Sure, Linda, great. Well, I was teaching when the book was inspired. I was teaching these children with autism and special needs, and I was actually hired as the first teacher for the Philadelphia school system to do this. These were kids that were not allowed in school or were kicked out, as I said earlier, and there was a federal mandate that said you have to figure out how to educate these kids. Now, they had to do it, and I was the first teacher, and the class opened up, and everybody was very wary of the situation. Nobody really felt that it was going to be successful. And I just found ways of working with these kids. And I remember, Linda, I would wake up in the morning and there would be a sentence in my head, like a line. And, okay, so I hear it and go about my day. And the next day there'd be another line or the same line. And finally, one day I said out loud, okay, I hear you, to God or the angels or whomever, and I started to write the story. So it feels like, I said, it was guided. It feels as though I was tapped on the shoulder to put this together, and it feels that sometimes not just for me, for other people, it's important to listen. It's important to listen to your inner voice. It's important to listen to the guidance that you receive, because I found that, you know, I teach that to people too, and I teach people how to access their inner guidance and to also be able to access their angels and whatever. And it's beautiful when we feel that we aren't alone and we do have that support, and not necessarily just support of family or friends or human support, but just support from the other side.
You're absolutely right. But I think a lot of times we're in such a hurry that we don't have time. We don't slow down long enough to be able to listen. And sometimes God will put situations and circumstances in our lives that will force us to be still long enough to be able to hear him, to be able to hear that inner voice that's speaking to us and that's guiding us. Because we get in such a hurry, we don't have time to listen to it. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. We've got to be able to get in touch with whatever that space is that we go to be able to hear, to be able to be in tune to that higher power, to listen to what God has to say to us. I totally agree with you. Well, we certainly,
you know, it doesn't have to take hours to just be quiet a little bit and to ask God or your angels or your inner guidance for you know, as you begin to train yourself to do that, because that's what I did. You know, first I got it, but then I started to train myself to do that. Once you start paying attention and once you start listening, the messages and the clues and the information is everywhere. It may not necessarily be the voice in your head. I have asked for guidance and asked for answers, and I get them in the strangest ways. I mean, my Selena, I was telling you about earlier before we got on the show, just passed, my beautiful Siamese girl, and I was walking, and I'm very much in tune with symbols because I teach about that too. And I was walking around, Linda, and finding pennies and finding feathers. So I thought, well, I don't really know what these mean. And I looked them up, the symbolism of pennies and feathers. And wouldn't you know, again, this is God and the universe and the angels speaking. The pennies are, it says, if a loved one has recently passed, they're telling you that they're okay, and they're telling you how much you're loved. So that was like an affirmation and a way of helping me heal through the process. And the feathers were, again, a message from the higher realms, from the heavens, just saying that you are loved and cared for and, you know, continue on your journey. Those are inspiring, beautiful ways of, you know, getting the information that one needs, that I needed at the time to help me through a very difficult time in my life just recently.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with you. Once you become in tune to hear it, it doesn't always have to be a voice. It comes in so many different ways, and I share the same thing with the ladies that I work with, that you just have to recognize it, and you have to be in tune. And I said to them, sometimes it might be a repetitive statement, several people saying the same thing to you. You need to listen to that, because a lot of times that's how our messages come, just like you finding these pennies and these feathers. Had you not been in tune to it, you would have just looked at it as those very isolated incidences. But because you are so in tune, you could see the connectivity in it. And I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. Well, we want to thank you right now for being a guest on our show. I want to take a break to recognize our sponsor. Our program is being sponsored this evening by a phenomenal women's conference. Ladies, I want you to mark your calendars for this awesome event that's scheduled for September 30th, 2017 in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have more details to come as we get closer to the date, but I wanted to let you all know so that you can mark your calendars. This is going to be a phenomenal conference. We had one this past year earlier in Selma. Just awesome group of ladies. A lot of information that's going to be shared, a lot of growth and empowerment. Mark your calendars, ladies, for September 30th, 2017 in Nashville, Tennessee. So let's get back to our guests. So tell us, Dr. Joanne, what motivates you? How does passion fit into your life?
Well, I think that I have to be passionate about what I'm doing. I think that passion isn't, you know, you can't just be passionate. There has to be more to it. But I think passion is a very strong driving force. When I work with people, I like to work with people that I can feel excited about what their mission is, where they want to go, what they want to do, and I get incredibly engaged. And to me, that's really important, because the more passion that I have for something, the more involved that I get. And oftentimes, Linda, you know, I will turn something down. I've done that in the past in my work career because it just didn't resonate with my values or my passion. And it wasn't just about a paycheck. It's about, for me, doing work that excites me, that's meaningful, and that's also in keeping with my beliefs and helping others. So I think that's important, and that's a motivator. Passion's a motivator. Also, I keep mentioning service, but I think that for as long as I can remember, I've been helping people, even from the earliest times of babysitting to working in camps and in schools and just, you know, wanting to work with children to evolving to work with families and businesses and doing more. And I remember even being a bit of an entrepreneur when I was younger. I had these magazines, and I decided to sell these magazines because I wasn't using them. My mother said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't know. I mean," now I'm looking at it saying, "Seriously, Joanne?"
That's funny.
Anyway, so motivation, you know, there are so many things that motivate me. Helping people, like, also I'm very much here for causes, to make sure that we're all treated fairly and we're appreciated, and I'm not just talking about humans, I'm also talking about animals, and I don't know if we have time, but I have another strange story for you if you're interested. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one night, and again, I just feel very guided, so I listen, I pay attention to this stuff. One evening, it was late, it was about 9:30, and my mind said, "Joanne, you have to go to the store." I'm thinking, why? I don't need anything. But again, I listened, so I went to the store, and I got something that I didn't need, and I thought, okay, well, I guess, I don't know, I bought something to eat. And I'm driving home, Linda, and there's this dog right in my path. Now, this street is a four-lane high, you know, road, with very busy, and there's this dog lying in the street. And if I had gone any further, and people are going like 40 miles an hour, I would have hit the dog. So I honk my horn. It's probably like 10:30 at night. I'm honking my horn wildly so that if anybody's, so people think she's crazy, they better stay away from her, and because I stopped my car in the middle of the street and got out to take care of this dog, because I was determined not to run the dog over. Well, this other woman comes out and says, "Oh, I'm so glad, because I was afraid to," so the point was that we eventually got the dog help, and somebody brought the dog to, you know, to where, to their vet or to the hospital that was open. But there I was, determined to not hit this dog and to not allow anybody else to do so. And somebody would say, Joanne, you're crazy. Your car could have, but I didn't think about that. I thought about here's a dog that is lying defenseless. Some car hit this dog, and I'm not going to allow other cars, including mine, roll over it and have this dog go through a horrific, torturous death. And so, but I was guided to get, and once I saw the dog, I knew why I was guided to go out of the house.
Yeah. And again, you listen to it. And not only do we have to slow down long enough to hear it, but then we have to act on whatever it is that's leading us, whatever the message is that we've got, we have to be obedient to it. And
that's a really good point. If somebody keeps calling you and you don't respond, you don't answer, you never call them back, eventually they're going to stop calling.
That's
or
right.
Or sometimes so insistent, like you said, you know, for you to pay attention and bring something into your life that you may not necessarily need or want to make sure that you've heard. You get the lesson and you've heard it. So it's so important to act. I'm glad you said that, because we need to listen and we need to act. Now, you have to make sure that the information is not coming from your ego and the information
right.
isn't coming from some distorted view of the world or whatever, and that it's really coming, you know, if it's telling you to kill somebody, if it's telling you to hurt somebody, it's not
That's
information
right.
coming from God or heaven. Or, I'm sorry,
That's
I don't
right.
care what you say, right?
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, you're right. Because God is never going to tell us to do something that's contrary to his word.
Right.
You see, and so you don't have to worry about it. And then also, he validates. You know, people will come up to you and say, well, God told me to tell you this. No, because whatever it is he wants us to know, he will validate that so that we'll know it. So you're absolutely right. If you're hearing voices that's telling you to do something crazy, that's not coming from God. That's coming from another place, and you really need to maybe go
you
see
need
someone
to get help.
Lay down on the couch somewhere.
Yeah, you need to get help.
You need to get help. That's exactly right. So you mentioned service. So why do you believe service is so important to not only our lives but to our business success?
Well, I think that, again, I believe that we're here to serve. And as we help others move forward, we're bettering other. You know, if everybody had that belief system that we're here to love and to serve one another, this world would be a totally different place. And I think that you and I both chose careers and occupations that are service oriented, so that we're helping others. I think that's a gift. I think, you know, I feel blessed that's the way my life has gone. It doesn't mean that it's been perfect. It's been far from perfect. And there have been business challenges and other kinds of challenges at different times. And yet, I think that recognizing that we are connected, we're not, yes, there's Linda, yes, there's Joanne, but there's also this oneness, this connection, and service kind of highlights that or illuminates that or emphasizes that in a beautiful way. And I think that's really important. You know, I just have always had that strong sense, and I feel that it's a responsibility. It's a gift, it's a joy, and it's a responsibility, Linda, to recognize that we're here to help one another, that we're here to create together and not to berate one another or diss one another or disregard somebody, because I think that's how you create harmony, and that's how you create beauty, and that's how you create generations that inspire other generations and that do wonderful, beautiful things together.
I agree, and I agree with you when you said that I too feel so blessed to be walking in my purpose and to be living the life that I'm passionate about, and that is in helping other women. I think that it's so important and it's so rewarding. What I have found is that a lot of women are searching for that purpose. What am I here for? I know I was created to do more than be a soccer mom and, you know, to cook dinner every day and to be a good mother and to be a good wife. I know I was created for more than just that. And I just think it's such a blessing when, like you, if I can help someone find what they're passionate about, that spark that you talked about that comes in their eyes is just absolutely so rewarding, because we've helped somebody kind of like along the way. So tell me, Dr. Joanne, how do you
I wanted to add something to what you just said, which is great,
yes,
Linda.
Ma'am.
You get me excited about talking, you know, about some of this. I think that no matter, you know, it doesn't matter what age you are. I mean, some women who've been married and have kids, and then they think, well, it's too late to find my purpose, and maybe part of their purpose was raising these beautiful children and having these children emerge into the world, but there also may be something else that they need to do. So I think it's important for us not to give up. So I wrote a chapter called Creative Aging in a book called For Baby Boomers, okay? And the idea of that, I researched mostly women, and I researched women who were in their 80s and 90s and 70s, and some of these women who started new careers, who did other kinds of things. This one woman was in her 80s when she first started to act, and went into a whole new career of acting. So I think that we have the potential to, firstly, I think that we can do many different things. I don't know about you, but my life has taken many different journeys, and I think that we have to be open to that, and we have to take a look. I think we have to be retrospective and at different stages of our lives and see where we are and recognize what our gifts are and recognize what we yearn for. And I'm not talking about ice cream, or I'm talking about like
or that box of chocolate, right? Yeah.
Right.
I agree. We have to do that. There's life after. Whatever that after is, there's life after that. I was talking with someone the other day, and a friend of mine said to me, you act like you're chasing something. And I got a little offended. And I said, I'm not chasing anything. Well, later on, I was having a conversation with another woman, and she said, don't be offended. Yes, you are. You're chasing your dream. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think what happens, Dr. Joanne, is that we as women, we take care of other people. That's what we were created to do. We're nurturers. And so we take care of everyone else. And so it's later on in life before we start chasing our dream. And once we
chase your dream. And not only that, it's okay to have different dreams.
That's right. That's exactly
right. I'm actually doing some new stuff that I never, ever thought I'd be doing. I'm working on, I've been working with a screenwriter for More Heaven, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm gonna learn, and I'm watching documentaries and learning and thinking, I'm going into film. I don't know what that means, but it's like I'm charting a new career. Now, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, even 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, that wasn't even a thought in my mind.
That's right.
So I think
we
do chase after our dreams, and it's great. And it's also great to have new dreams too.
That's right.
If some dreams don't work, or some dreams get extinguished, you, as long as you live. I remember somebody once, a dear friend of mine who's deceased now, and I remember I was having a phone conversation with him, Linda, and he said, I have no more dreams. And I got really silent. And he, you know, and I thought, wow, what a shame. No, you know, no more dreams. And about a month later, he died. And I thought, maybe that was connected because he didn't have, again, where the dream gets you excited, gets you passionate, you know, and he didn't have any more dreams.
How sad.
It was.
But you know what, Dr. Joanne, what I have learned, a lot of people are like that because they feel that wherever they are right now is their destination. And when you get to your destination, you give up. You're there. And I constantly tell people wherever you are is just part of your journey. You're not at your destination. You still have some miles to go. You got to keep moving. Like you said, never give up. But I think a lot of people do. They have no dreams because they feel that they've already reached their destination. Wherever that destination is, they feel that they've
But you know what? You're so right because that destination can always change and it can move further in different directions. And
right.
I also think it's important to have role models. I studied the Alexander technique, which was one of the things that helped me heal years ago, and I from my injury, and then I got certified in it. And my Alexander teacher was in her 80s at the time. She was teaching young people like myself. I was like in my 20s, and she was vibrant, and she made such an impression on me at that time, which was really relevant. And I remember I was also, when I was going through my master's, I also got a certificate in gerontology. And the professor was this woman who was, she came in and she's teaching young people, you know, we were in our 20s or whatever, and she comes into the class and she says, I'm 65 years old, and I've earned every wrinkle. That's how she introduced herself. And it was like everybody had mouths open. It's like, okay. And we learned that 65 could be great. I mean, that it wasn't, you know, because when you're 20, you think those people are ancient. I mean, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So I think it is important to have dreams, to continue to dream, to embrace new dreams, and to have others that help you support your dreams and at the same time help other people support their dreams.
That's right. So speaking of dreams, so what is your vision? What's next for Dr. Joanne White?
Well, what's next is working on movies and documentaries and more books and helping more people hopefully on a larger scale. And I want to come to that Phenomenal Woman Conference in September 2017. I just wrote that down.
Yes, absolutely. It is just going to be it's going to be great. We have such a great group of women, the founder, Nikki Smith is just a phenomenal woman herself. She's kind of brought this core group of women together to just kind of uplift, to undergird, and to support each other. And it's just going to be fantastic. So, yes, we will definitely keep everybody informed as to what's going on with the whole conference.
Good.
So, as we start
to
wind down.
I want to say one thing. I also think that having a sense of humor, being able to laugh at yourself, being able to laugh at even the challenges that you went through that you never thought you could ever laugh at, especially
That's
when
right.
you're in the midst of them, to be able to have that is refreshing, keeps you young at heart,
yes.
and helps you through all sorts of trials and adversity.
That's right. When you get to a point in your life that you can laugh about situations in your life, you have healed. So those situations are no longer, they no longer have a negative impact, because you can't laugh and be mad. That just doesn't, that doesn't work. And so I learned that going through my experiences, and I went to AA every day for 6 months, and the thing that I loved about AA is that I went to these meetings and there were people there who weren't judging me, who weren't any of the negative stuff that's associated with alcoholism, because they had been where I was, and they were already at a point that they were able to laugh at some of the crazy things that they did while they were drunk. And that was probably the most therapeutic thing that could have helped me at that point. So you're right. You've got to get laughter. So laughter now has become a part of my ministry. You have to laugh, and you've got to share that laughter with other people, because it doesn't matter what situation you're going through in life. For that brief moment that you're laughing, you have forgotten all about it.
And I think too, it's a wonderful gift to help other people laugh and lighten their load and share some joy. I like to go into stores and just connect with people that way, with the person at the cashier. You know, just be able put a smile on people's faces.
That's right. It's great. So our time is just about up, Dr. Joanne. Can you share with us briefly what words of inspiration would you give someone in our listening audience who might be having trouble right now just dealing with some of the challenges of life?
Recognize that there may be a silver lining in the challenge, even if you don't see it. Don't give up, because sometimes you can be so close to a solution or a remedy or support. So determination and not giving up. And remember that you, even if you don't recognize it that this way, you have a beautiful shining light inside of you that needs to be shared with the world. And as you share it, I believe it gets brighter, not just for you, but for other people as well.
For other people. I agree. We want to thank you so much, Dr. Joanne White, for sharing with us this evening. You have given us such encouraging words, very empowering and very inspiring. Can you tell our listening audience how they might be able to reach you in case they wanted to get in touch with you to learn further, or just, you know, for you to be able to help them? How could they get in touch with you?
Well, they can email me at joannewithanewhite.com, joanne@drjoannewhite.com. That's my website, too, drjoannewhite.com. I also have another website called Powered, P-O-W-E-R-E-D, Powered by Success, and that's to work with entrepreneurs and women business owners. And call me. 856-795-5854 or 1-877-DOC-WHITE. I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, and I love to hear from people. And as you and I've talked about, for both of us, I love to help people. That's my joy, and that's where I live.
I want to thank you so much for joining us this week. You be sure to join us for our next show at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to hear from another phenomenal woman. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, or you know someone who is phenomenal, please contact me at linda@lindahwilliams.com. So I leave you with these words from that phenomenal woman, Maya Angelou. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellas stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. You see, I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me. Thank you. Be blessed. And we'll see you back here next time. Thank you, Dr. Joanne. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.